Coming to Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Every now and then, there can be like a big day and a big topic and a big thing that you, and when I say you, I'm really talking about me, that I'm excited to talk about and that I think you all care about. And then something stupid comes along and that becomes what everybody wants to talk about. And today is one of those days because the Titans open up training camp. Mike Vrabel, John Robinson met with the media today. Bunch of interesting little nuggets in there. Treylon Burks supposedly good to go. And all of a sudden, Julio Jones signs with the Buccaneers, and I'm convinced that's all what everybody wants to talk about now, is Julio Jones the Buccaneers.
The text line is all Julio.
And you know what I realized?
It feels like this time last year, but very different.
Titan fans are nervous. They are nervous. And I know why you're nervous. You're nervous that Julio Jones, who didn't work out here because, you know, he got injured early, and then he kept getting injured, and then he would come back for a game, and then he would get injured. And then I think he had like six catches maybe in that Bengals game. I mean, Tannehill almost got him killed, but he did catch the ball in the Bengals game. And they released him, and you all were okay with him being released because you knew in your heart that Julio was kind of washed up. You knew there was a chance maybe Julio could capture a little of the magic like the Seattle game last year, week two. But you know Julio's done. But then Tom Brady wants Julio, and now it's like, did we make a mistake? Did we make a mistake? Again, when Julio got released, you all were cool with it. You all understood.
I was surprised it happened, but I was
too
cool with it.
But yeah, everybody was cool with it. But like, you knew why. You understood why. You know he's done. You know he can't run anymore. You know he's always gets hurt. You know the hamstring's a problem. You know that, you know, he didn't have a bad attitude here, but for the most part, he has a history of having a bad attitude. He was making too much money. All those things. So you, Johnny Titan fan, you were okay with letting go of Julio. You got it. I think we'd all say Julio Robert Woods. I'd take Robert Woods.
Yeah.
But then you find out that Tom Brady wants your trash, and all of a sudden you're like, should I have thrown that out? That's what this is. Titans fans are nervous that Tom Brady is going to make something of Julio Jones. Let me tell every Titan fan out there, do not be nervous about Tom Brady turning Julio Jones into something other than an old peepop who can't run anymore. Do not worry about it. I'm not 100% convinced it's not going to happen, but I'm 95% convinced it's not going to happen.
But also, let's run with that 5% that okay. Julio Jones has a great season. Whatever Tom Brady was able to unlock in Julio Jones, Ryan Tannehill couldn't. So even if Titans fans are saying, oh, we never should have gotten rid of Julio Jones because he's balling out in Tampa Bay. Well, it has nothing to do with Julio and everything to do with the guy who's throwing him the ball. Well, nothing. That's, you know, that's a dramatic.
But. I would say you're right church, wrong pew. Not say, yes, obviously Brady's a better quarterback than Tannehill. I think the bigger thing is Tom Brady's not paying $9 million for that.
That's also true.
So if you
There's
told me
so much less investment.
And I don't know what the money is for Julio. You know, I'm sure it's
veteran
minimum.
But it's a
one-year
deal.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like 1 year, you know, veteran minimum.
Didn't give up a second-round pick for him.
No. Tampa Bay would not have given Julio Jones the money that you were going to have to pay Julio Jones.
Yes.
But I still think yesterday, Titans fans were not concerned, not worried at all about Julio Jones going to another team. If Julio Jones signed with the Seattle Seahawks on a one-year veteran minimum contract deal, Johnny Titan fan would not be worried. But when it's Tampa Bay and it's Tom Brady, Johnny Titan fan is worried. They're so worried that Tom Brady, that he's going to be the next guy who Tom Brady, you know, reinvents this man's career. And I have to ask this. Outside of Randy Moss, how many guys' careers has Tom Brady restarted? Now, I know that he started Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, Benjamin Watson, and he made guys who absolutely were not very good, like Rashay Caldwell. Like, I know that he made those guys into good players or serviceable players. But outside of Moss, who was a star in Minnesota, then he went to Oakland, he was a mess. Went to New England, he was a star. Outside of Moss, whose career did Brady save? And Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, but Antonio
Brown was never...
But he didn't
save Antonio Brown's career.
Antonio Brown was never not a good player. Antonio Brown was just crazy.
Yeah, he didn't save
his career.
He was good
in Pittsburgh. He was good that one game he played with the Patriots before he started texting that woman accusing him of sexual assault. And then he was good in... I mean, Antonio Brown's always been good. Who, other than Moss, whose career has Brady revitalized? And I may be forgetting somebody here, but for the most part, when these old guys go ring chasing with Brady, it's Ocho Cinco to New England.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It's what's his name? I can't. It's like Andre Johnson. Yeah, but it's like Andre Johnson when he signed with the Titans. He's done. And so what I believe is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Julio Jones. It's probably a one-year absolutely prove-it deal. They think to themselves, maybe he's got something in the tank and can bridge the gap until Chris Godwin is 100% ready to go coming off the knee injury. Maybe he and Kyle Rudolph, between the two of them, one of us can give us a little bit of a contribution to replace what we're losing in Rob Gronkowski. But the Johnny Titan fan that's afraid that Julio Jones, that they're going to have missed out on the Julio Jones experience.
No.
Do not worry. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Julio's done, guys. You know it. You know it. Remember the Pittsburgh game last year where Julio had missed for about a month and they kept him out a game before the bye week, even though there was a thought he might be able to come back, but they kept him out, or maybe they kept him out of the Jacksonville game, or one of them they kept him out of just because. He comes back in the Pittsburgh game, he plays in the first half, and at the end of the first half, he pulls the hamstring. This is chronic hamstringage. I watched where he got hurt in training camp last year. He wasn't going 100% in a 7-on-7 drill. He dropped a football. I thought it was loser's cramp. I thought it was like, oh, I tripped on that one. My ankles bothered me. I'm good,
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, must be the wind.
I'm good,
doesn't
coach.
Mean you dropped that ball.
And then all of a sudden, you practice for a month. No. No. Brady, again, look, you all know how I feel about Tom Brady. So if anybody can get blood from a stone, it's Brady. But no, I do not believe that Julio Jones is effective anymore. Just like Kyle Rudolph. I mean, when Kyle Rudolph was available in Minnesota and they cut him because his money was too much, and as we know about the cap, they didn't want to pay it. When they cut Kyle Rudolph before the Jets signed him, I definitely wanted the Titans, who didn't have a tight end, I wanted the Titans to sign Kyle Rudolph. And then when I saw he got a two-year deal from the Jets or Giants or whoever he signed with, I was like, ooh, no, too rich for my blood. And it got cut after 1 year because he's done. And so Tampa's taking a flyer on Kyle Rudolph, and maybe Brady will throw him the ball some. But this is so, you know, this is Brady and Ocho Cinco. This is not Brady and Randy Moss. And Ocho Cinco was an awesome receiver when he was in his prime. This is Sammy Watkins. You know, the guy's done. Done. So no, Johnny Titan fan should not be nervous. But I know Johnny Titan fan is nervous.
Well, Johnny Titan fan texted into the text line and says, me, Johnny Titan fan, could not care any less about the Bucs' fourth receiver who will never be healthy enough to make a difference.
I'll tell you this right now. TV will not feel this way. TV will talk tomorrow about what can Brady get out of Julio Jones?
100%.
But football.
And I think it's a good July discussion. But Russell come Gage, October, we're not going to be having that discussion.
Russell Gage is a much, much more important factor for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers than Julio Jones.
But he's not a sexy name like Julio Jones.
Scotty Miller is going to be a big deal this year for the Buccaneers. Much, much bigger deal.
Julio's more of a sports center topic than Scotty Miller.
I also wonder this on the Julio front. Did you see the news that Adam Schefter broke yesterday and how he broke it?
I don't think so.
So he broke that Danny Amendola was retiring from the NFL.
Yeah.
And Danny Amendola is going to work for broadcast networks or whatever. And when Adam Schefter first tweeted it, he tweeted work ? And then put the thing about Amendola retiring beneath it. Because he copy and pasted a text message.
From the agent.
Amendola, probably.
Maybe.
And it was, hey, does this work? You know, because this is how Adam Schefter breaks news.
Right.
So Adam Schefter, hey, does this work? And they said...
Forgot to delete a part of that text there.
Yes.
So, but is anyone surprised?
But do we think... No. Do we think that maybe Brady was waiting on Amendola? And when Amendola was like, nah, I'm not, you know, I'm done. That then it was like, all right, let's sign Julio.
But, I mean, is he choosing two almost geriatric wide receivers? Is there really no one else out there on the market that Brady would be interested in?
Amendola's one of Brady's guys.
I know.
And I'll say
Julio is not, though.
I'll say this about Amendola.
That's why Amendola doesn't surprise me.
I'll say this about Amendola. I watched him play last year. Amendola, I mean, he looked like a bad boy in that Titan game. He lit
the
Titans
up. But the Amendola thing doesn't surprise me about Brady. No,
that's
a
Brady. That's not a Brady thing. It's like Edelman's retired, and I don't trust Scotty Miller exactly, and AB's off the reservation. So who can I go get that knows me? Julio doesn't know Tom Brady.
And that's my thing is why would you... Okay, so one old wide receiver who you do know is off the market. So why go to another old and injured wide receiver who you don't know?
Maybe like a lottery ticket theory?
I don't know. Do you think this is a Brady-motivated move? Most things are in Tampa Bay.
He's the coach.
But why Julio? Like, is there something within Julio that Tom Brady thinks I can work with that?
I think it's, hey, you take the minimum and let's see if we can find the old Julio.
That doesn't sound like a very Brady move to me.
So let's take your phones on at 615-737-1025. And here's a question, because I do not care about this. You know, it's crazy to sit there and say, like, here I am talking for 15 minutes about something that I do not care about. But I absolutely do not care. But again, what matters is not what I care about. What matters is what you care about. And I think you all care about this. Do you? 615-737-1025. Speaking of wide receivers, there is some news on the Titans wide receiver front. We'll touch on this and then we'll get to your phones. Stillman and Company, it's 1025 The Game.
Does Treylon have to replace AJ, or is that an unfair expectation?
Treylon's got to get open, catch, and block. Like, he's going to line up at receiver and get open, catch, and block. And when we throw it to him, try to run with it and as far as he can run until somebody tackles him.
There you go. John Robinson wanted no part of that question from Corey Curtis. But in fairness to John, he is right. You know, Treylon Burks cannot hit the practice field tomorrow and think, I have to go be as good as A.J. Brown. He has to do what he's told to do, catch the ball, and then go run with the football.
D.Y.J.
Do your job. You are right. But you brought up a great point in the break, Caroline. Again, Julio Jones has signed a one-year deal with the Buccaneers. Titans fans are nervous. What if Brady unlocks Julio? Did we mess that up? But you brought up a great point.
If A.J. Brown balls
out, that's the one that people are going to get all worked up about.
People are going to get real mad.
That's the one that people are going to get all worked up about. And it will be compared to Treylon Burks.
100%.
So Joe Rexrode got all worked up this morning about how we were talking about Madden ratings yesterday on the radio show. And again, going back to what I said in the last segment, a good radio host doesn't talk about the things that he cares about. A good radio host talks about and opines on the things that the audience cares about. Let me tell you something. As somebody who was doing 8 hours this weekend of national sports talk radio, those Madden ratings matter to these people. And so A.J. Brown is only one Madden rating point ahead of Robert Woods. And that actually makes me feel okay, because if Robert Woods can match in a different way, but match kind of being the number one guy like AJ, which I think for Robert Woods, it would be more volume and less explosive plays, but they're both important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Robert Woods catches 11 passes in a game and goes for 140 yards, and it's not the same as AJ's 7 for 140,
it's still 140.
It's still important. You know, it's still a big deal. If Robert Woods can be that, then Treylon, I mean, all he has to do is replace Julio Jones.
Well, or really Corey Davis.
Or Corey Davis is 900 yards from the year before.
And that's another thing, is comparing Julio Jones and insert current Titans wide receiver here, I don't think is fair, because Julio Jones didn't produce to the level that the Titans needed him to produce. So exceeding Julio Jones's production doesn't wow me. That doesn't thrill me. But what about the good Titans offenses of 2019 and 2020? That's what Titans fans want to get back to. And then matching the defensive production of 2021, that's how you make a Super Bowl team. Not just recreating what you did to get bounced in the divisional round of the playoffs.
If Julio plays well for the Buccaneers, how mad will Titans fans be?
I really don't think they'll be that mad. Of course, it'll be like, oh, what could have been if Julio just would have stayed a Titan? But I think so many people were out on the Julio front at that point, and he was old and costed too much. I don't think people would really care that much. But what?
You said costed.
Cost too much?
I do that all the time.
But if AJ Brown balls out, that's where the real.
Okay, then so how mad? So like on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most mad you could be, if AJ Brown plays well and Treylon Burks doesn't play well, how mad will Titans fans be?
Calling for John Robinson's job.
If Julio plays well this year and Treylon Burks and Robert Woods don't make that big of an impact, how mad will Titans fans be?
It'll be like Titans Twitter mad.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Craig texts in and says, the only way Julio helps Brady is if they keep him healthy enough to help in the playoffs. The regular season doesn't matter. So Titans fans shouldn't worry because the Super Bowl is not in their future as long as Tannehill is here.
So here's the thing about Brady that I don't know the technicalities of this. I feel like for the most part, Brady needs precise route runners that can do six things at once. Like, he needs pure chemistry with somebody who is a just slick route runner and can run, you know, five options off the route tree at one time so that Brady can get up to the line of scrimmage and, you know, see what route he wants you to run, you run it. The sheer talent guys that Brady likes, Julio doesn't have talent anymore. He doesn't have that talent. He does not have, like, the Super Bowl Julio Jones that went up over Logan Ryan. That guy does not exist anymore. So I just don't know. Like, has Brady ever had a high-volume possession receiver that wasn't a slick route runner? Because all of his possession receivers are really great route runners, like Deion Branch or Wes Welker or Troy Brown. And Julio's not that kind of player. And that's where I have a hard time seeing how the relationship is going to work well between Brady and Julio.
Julian Edelman a slick route runner?
Oh, Julian Edelman was a fantastic route runner. I mean, just perfect at what Brady wanted him to do. You know, there's six options on the route tree. Mm-hmm. If I see this coverage, I want this option. And when you see that coverage, you know what option I want. Mm-hmm. And Edelman, man, he was great at that. I was thinking about this. If you were to go over the best receivers of the Brady era, Gronk is by far number one.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, like, obviously Randy Moss that one year was incredible, but that wasn't that long of a time. I would argue that Troy Brown would be number two. And Troy Brown was awesome and could play DB. And that's what they would be asking Julio Jones to be, is like Troy Brown. And I don't think Julio Jones plays like Troy Brown. Julio's a talent guy, and the talent is gone. And that's why I just don't see that working at the level that they probably want it to work. What else we got?
Saul texts in and says, Julio won't stay healthy long enough to make an impact. That's the overall vibe in the text line, is nobody thinks Julio is even going to be able to make it to the field.
So Julio and I think, are the same age, or at least I think we were the same age in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, we graduated from high school the same time. And I remember when I was probably 28, 27, something like that. And Floyd was on vacation and Joe Rexrode filled in. And it was during a break, and Joe Rexrode told me that hangovers, once you hit the age of 30, are totally different. And Joe, and I remember, like, that always stuck in my mind. I never thought Joe was, you know, the gospel of truth, but it always stuck in my mind. I didn't really feel a difference between 28, 29, 30. When I turned 31... I mean, and I'm not talking about hangovers, but I'm talking about, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't really drink.
Just overall physicality.
I mean, I'm hurting something new every day. I mean, on Saturday, for instance, I was like, I'm going to go light. I'm just going to swim and stretch. And I got hurt doing that. I mean, I get hurt. I never got hurt. And again, I'm not Julio Jones, but I think once you start, like, 31 was the number for me. How old was Julio last year? 31, 32, 33. You know, this is, And when you are an explosion guy, which Julio is, so either Julio's game has to completely change or he's never going to be that guy. Brady is better than Tannehill, which is not a shocking revelation. So Julio will probably have a little bit more of an opportunity. I just don't think Julio's going to beat out the guys that are already there for meaningful playing time, and I don't think Julio's going to be interested. Julio, then again, Golden Tate went to the practice squad last year for the Titans. But
we don't talk enough about that.
Oh, they talked enough about it when it happened, when he was on there every day. Is Golden Tate going to get off the practice squad? Who cares?
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, what a disaster that was. That's what that is in Tampa. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of Joe, I've got a bone to pick with Joe. We'll get to that in your phones coming up next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. They take great care of my home, and I promise you that they will do the exact same for you. You know, Hiller has been taking care of my home for years, and every time they do a fantastic job. July is the home of the free. That's right, and Hiller is celebrating all month long, and we still got a little bit of July left. So get in with my friends at Hiller, where this month only you can take advantage of free whole home surge protection and interest-free financing for 12 months with the purchase of a new whole home generator, a free programmable thermostat and interest-free financing for up to 48 months on select new HVAC units, and a free water sensor leak detector and interest-free financing for 12 months when you buy a new tankless water heater. All these purchases come with a free membership to the Happy Hiller Club, which I am a member of and absolutely love. Their work is backed by the Happy OB or services free guarantee, and these deals are only happening in July, so customers should call as soon as possible. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, proud supporters of the Vols, Vandy, and the Preds, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin, Robert, Traylon, do you think that the offensive skill positions around Ryan are currently better than they were where you ended last season?
I think I answered that earlier with the Madden rating questions, but like it's different. It's about if they play in unison, and it's so much about timing, and there's concepts offensively that you're trying to create and get guys open. It's just, you know, guys get open differently. But I'm excited about the position groups and the guys that we have and the work that they've put in to be ready for camp.
I love the whole Madden ratings thing. First of all, I do remember him mentioning Madden ratings. I don't remember what it was about. Was it about that?
I think it was a similar question.
Okay. There could have been.
Yeah.
But do you think that they're better off this year than they were where they finished, than you felt where they were last year?
It's just different.
Okay, John.
What? Who's John?
Dude, that's what John said.
But going into last year, the big question mark was the defense. You know, can the defense at least get to a level that can keep up with the offense and make that competitive? Well, this year, it's the complete opposite. The defense, I think we all feel pretty good about. It's, you know, does Tannehill trust his receivers? Does Tannehill, has he figured out what the problem was last year? Now there's so many question marks surrounding the offense. So I would say it's kind of net zero how we feel. It's different concerns, but I feel like we're in the same place.
But I asked you if you feel better than you felt at the end of last year, not if you felt...
At the end of last year.
Not at the beginning.
Oh, do I feel better now than at the end of last year? No.
AJ Brown.
I don't feel better.
I don't know. I'm torn. But speaking of Madden ratings, so yesterday, all I brought up was the quarterback list that has Tannehill ranked, you know, 83 and Matt Ryan 81. That's all I brought up. And apparently, and this, I've decided this is now the, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was thinking about this a lot with the news about Mark Howard and about how, you know, 15 years ago, George and Willie and Darren and Mark and Frank and Kevin Ingram, like, they ran this town. And it makes me sad that that era is essentially, for the most part, you know, it's a different era now, right, of sports radio and everything else. And now, like, I feel like the old guy. Like, we feel like the old guys. And, you know, I've been here for a long time now, it feels like, 7 years. Well, the way that you go, the way that proves that you are a freaking old pop is if you, Madden ratings, here was John Robinson. I mean, it's not the Madden football ratings. Okay, John. So apparently yesterday we were just talking about him. Uh-huh. People care about this crap. I don't, but people care about the Madden ratings, especially the players.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently Joe this morning decided to get a little smart about talking about Madden rings. Here's what Joe said.
I heard, by the way, so that clip that Michelle played earlier was part of also like a lot of Madden rating talk.
There was some of that.
Why do we talk about Madden ratings?
Like, the players are obsessed with it.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's all, but then it's like funny, like, oh, how could you rate me here?
Yeah.
Like, that's not. Like, I heard Jared say, I like these Madden ratings better than, like, the quarterback tiers thing. Okay, so the quarterback tiers is, like, 50, like, personnel people around the league.
Yeah.
Who are granted anonymity and give you their. By the way, there's a really dumb thought in there I want to talk about later. But,
okay.
Which was got dragged yesterday. But, Madden ratings are a freaking video game, dude.
Hey, if you go by Madden ratings, Christian McCaffrey's still way up there near the top running backs. Can't get on the field, but he's still way up there.
I mean, so this is who actually does the Madden ratings?
I don't know.
Why?
I think just, there's a collection of people.
It's almost talked about like it almost reminds me of when we treat pro wrestling results like sports results.
Oh, that's
different. What an old like Robbie, you can hear Robbie in there. Like
the players care.
Robbie gets it. Like Robbie gets where we're going with it. Yeah. Because Robbie is not an old pop.
But
Joe, I'm gonna start calling him pop Joe.
Can we all agree that Madden ratings really don't matter?
What was the first thing I said to start the show today? The very first thing.
I don't know.
Ian, what was the very, very, very first thing I said to start the show today?
Welcome to training camp. Thank
God
we made it.
All the other bullcrap that we've been doing for the last 9 months is over. All that's gone. Now we get the real stuff, but it's all bullcrap.
Madden ratings do not matter. But in the middle of July, when we have absolutely nothing else to work off of.
And I think the Madden ratings were the most accurate representation of what I believe to be true.
And also, we talked about this
yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of Ryan Tannehill.
Well, we talked about this yesterday, that Madden ratings, I feel like, I have no idea if this is the truth, but I feel like it's just a big compilation of stats and data and analytics all put in together in this little score.
You think there's some geeks in there that are like, this is how we come up with these
100%.
Ratings.
It's a bunch of just geeks and spreadsheets trying to figure out, you know, who's an 82 and who's an 83. But I think with the Athletic article, it was, you know, there's room for human error. I know it's a lot of coaches and GMs and execs and a lot of people who are very in tune with the league. And I always say that sometimes your eye and your mind can tell you things that analytics can't. So I think that there's room for error in both of them. But also, to be fair, Madden ratings don't matter today. Not anymore. Because training camp happens. Because we can actually see with our eyes if someone's good or not.
I will say this. I think the Madden ratings, except for the Dak Prescott thing, which I can't get over. I think the Madden
ratings
got every single thing right. The quarterback tiers, I mean, we got one former general manager in there who's like, if I owned the 49ers, I would be so mad that they traded 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance. And I'm like, thinking to myself, if I owned the 49ers, I'd be mad that my quarterback that I've been paying $20 million the last couple years is missing a wide-open receiver to win the Super Bowl. I'd be upset about that.
And to be fair, both lists got it's a lot of consistency on both in Madden ratings and the Athletic, you know, Mike Sando's compilation of GMs and execs, because I think we're living in an NFL where there's a small gray area with quarterbacks, and the top tier is very obvious and the bottom tier is very obvious.
Maybe
it's that
not,
middle
though.
Ground with the Kirk Cousins and the Tannehills and the Jimmy Garoppolos that are
Matt
more
Ryan.
Of a gray area. The Matt Ryans.
Well, here's what got me.
The Derek Carrs.
You know, like the Athletic article had Justin Herbert ahead of Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
I mean, I think that's freaking stupid.
This is a what have you done for me lately league, and Joe Burrow got his team to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert couldn't get his team to the playoffs.
Although Justin Herbert did beat Joe Burrow.
That was a lot of Brandon Staley's deal, and I believe in Justin Herbert.
Oh, I think Herbert's awesome.
But to put him above Joe Burrow, I don't think is fair, and that's not a homer take.
And so I laugh. You know, Joe sitting there, I mean, are we really talking about Madden ratings? Joe, I don't want to sit there and say, because Joe and Robbie's a very popular show. They've been doing great. Stillman and Company's a more popular show.
I'm just all saying. Right, Petty.
Oh, well, don't tell me what to talk about. You're going to sit there and be like, how dare we talk about the Madden ratings? Which, by the way, again, I think the Madden ratings, for
they're
the most part,
fun.
I think they got it right, except for Dak Prescott as the 6th best quarterback in the NFL. That's freaking stupid.
Also,
that's ridiculous.
Everyone loves Madden. It's a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, again, I used to play Madden all day, every day. I used to love Madden. I used to play Madden. I used to be all about Madden. I used to freaking, when I was a kid, what I would do is whatever time I was playing Madden at is what I would make the conditions for, like, the game. So if I was playing at nighttime, it was a night game.
It's raining.
If it was like 3:30 in the afternoon, then it was 3:30 in the afternoon time. Like, I got so into that stuff. I was such a bum. But I mean, again, I think the Madden ratings, the other thing I think is hilarious is I heard the midday show complaining about this. I heard the morning show complaining about this. I saw Twitter complaining about this. An anonymous defensive coordinator basically pulled the old man Lamar Jackson argument that, you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't throw the ball like a quarterback, so he doesn't. And everyone's all mad, shaming this anonymous defensive coordinator and everything else. If you want to know what these people think, you can't get mad at them when they say something you don't like.
It's true.
Like, if you want to know...
I also think that's a pretty fair criticism of Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't put him out of the top 10 because he's not. He doesn't have as strong of an arm as some other quarterbacks in the league.
I would hate... if Lamar Jackson was my quarterback.
You would hate that?
I would hate it.
Lamar Jackson or Ryan Tannehill?
Lamar Jackson. But so but what I would hate is that I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson.
He has limitations.
And
I don't think that those are any sort of secret.
But the people that are like, how dare this unnamed defensive coordinator say Lamar Jackson is not a tier one quarterback if he wins 12 MVPs. I'm like, look, the guy said it. You want to know his opinion. You want to know what the coaches think. Here's what the coaches think. Don't be getting mad about what the coaches think. Sean is up next on the Madden ratings. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. I'm just, because of all the Madden talk, I'm with you, Jared. I used to play. I don't really play anymore since I was like 19 or 20, but, I was curious as well as to who comes up with these ratings, and they are EA Sports employees that are, and this is information I've gotten over a bunch of places, but the last place I looked was ESPNPressRoom.com, and they are Madden NFL ratings performance adjusters. Is they take a couple handfuls of very generic stats that aren't football athlete related, like strength, awareness, catching ability.
Sure, get there faster, Sean.
Yes, sir.
That's a good call. Good call, Sean. So, I'll say this about that. I have no idea about this. I think that Madden has some geeks that work for them that are probably making about as much money as the people that, you know, the Ryan Cowdens, you know, not as much money as John Robinson, but as much money as the people who work for John Robinson, they're probably making the same amount of money.
I mean, coders and data people, there's so much money in that, and good for them.
Like, I will tell you this, like, people who work inside the league leave the league and go work for, like, gambling companies. Mm-hmm. And so that's what
money
I think.
In it.
That's what I think this is I think, you know, that's my take on it. Back to your phones next. Plus, one consistent target, and not really a target of the Stillman and Company show. They just do things consistently that end up being discussed and, I'm sure they have the right word to say here, disparaged on the Stillman and Company show. Makes a right decision that, to me, came out of nowhere. And they're on the Titans. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
Here's something to think about, too. You brought this up, and I don't want to take your shit, but the thought of maybe doing something where I'm like an AJ Hawk on this pod during the season.
That right there, I think, is a conversation for us. And I think there's just variables that you got to talk through versus like saying that and be like, I
want it. But you know how it gets, dude. We lose a game. I don't play so well in a game. And it's just like,
trust me. Yeah.
It seems so much bigger than it is.
Taylor Lewan. Talking a couple months ago on Bussin' with the Boys about doing a podcast during the season, Will Compton's like, don't know about that idea
there. Yeah, maybe that's a conversation that we can have.
Last night, out of nowhere, Taylor Lewan, a.k.a. Taymon Green, sent out a tweet last night saying that he is off of social media for the season. Way to go, Taylor! I, first of all, cannot tell you how shocked I was by then. The only other person in the NFL who would shock me by being off of social media for the season is A.J. Brown. Probably he's the number one. Taylor's number two. I mean, Taylor Lewan loves attention. And if you are famous and you go to social media, it is an easy way to get attention. I mean, it's almost like DoorDash, except you don't have to wait for it. You just go right to social media, say something, you get attention. And that's what people who are famous love to do if they like attention. And Taylor is famous and Taylor likes attention. So when I saw that Taylor Lewan was getting off of social media for the season, I thought to myself, what got into Taylor? Almost brought a tear to me eye. I mean, is Taylor Lewan finally grown up at the age of 30?
Well, who do you think's holding him accountable?
What do you mean? Like, who made Taylor want to get off of social media?
No, who is going to be the one to make sure he gets off social media? Because he could say that all day long and we sing his praises. Who's to say he's not scrolling on Instagram right now?
So you're not buying the team.
I'm not buying it. I'm just saying.
No, I would agree. Social media.
He's kind of a fiend, as we all are.
I will tell you something. About December of last year, whenever Floyd got sick, I got super depressed. And, like, obviously, I've never really talked about it, like, publicly or whatever, about how truly sad I was. I feel like most of you could probably assume how sad I was, but I was pretty freaking depressed. And I had some other stuff going on in my life, so I just got off Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, it was too much looking at other people's stuff, thinking about what other people were doing, thinking about, like, it was just too much. So for about, like, December through maybe February of last year, I just didn't use Instagram. And honestly, I felt so much better.
Yeah.
But then guess what I did?
Got back on.
Yeah. And it's like, I know that I'm better off without it. Like, and I don't need
but
it for this job.
You can't stay away.
But Twitter I need.
Yeah.
Instagram I don't need. And yet, it's like I need it. It's almost like smoking. And so I've been around people who have smoked, and I've been around people who have quit smoking, and they talk about how hard it is to quit. I've been around people who have tried to quit smoking who can't quit smoking. I think social media might be the same way. So do I think Taylor Lewan can quit Twitter and Instagram for the whole season? I mean, I don't know. If Taylor Lewan was smoking 5 packs a day and then was like, I'm going to stop smoking for the season, I don't know if he'd be able to do that.
Well, it's really just a habit, and you have to break that habit, one. And also, like you said, it's instant attention and gratification that you get addicted to. You know, when you get all these things that pop up on your phone of people loving your stuff and praising you. I mean, that's addictive. That's hard to break. But also, I don't get paid millions of dollars to play football in the NFL, and I think that would be a little bit more of a motivation.
I'll say this. I got to give Taylor Lewan credit.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's got to have somebody put in his contract that he's got to take 4 hours a week of independent study time. Let's think about Kyler Murray here for a second. He's such a baby that he immediately scrubs his Instagram when he doesn't get exactly what he wants from the Arizona Cardinals in a contract. That was a baby move. He has to get this independent study contract clause where, I mean, you're talking about the bare minimum. 4 hours a week during the season.
4 hours a week is nothing.
I mean, I honestly prepare more for the radio show in one day during the football season than Kyler Murray apparently prepares for the entire week for a game. That is pathetic.
And it's not 4 additional hours.
No.
It's 4 hours.
It's 4 hours.
That is nothing.
No, it's nothing. It's nothing.
That's how much I would say like an average college student studies in like a day.
That is like one flight.
Yeah. Like
you to the airport.
You could go from New York to LA and Kyler Murray's done.
And then fly and
yeah.
You're there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then I forgot about this. Last year, Chandler Jones said he unfollowed Kyler Murray on Twitter because he asked Kyler to follow him and Kyler didn't follow him. So he was like, well, if he's not going to follow me, I'll just unfollow him. And I heard that and I thought, okay, well, you know, who was Chandler Jones' other quarterback? So I went to Chandler Jones' Instagram or Twitter page and it was followed by Tom Brady. And I'm like, if you're Kyler Murray and you're the leader of the team and Chandler Jones, a star defensive player, is like, hey, man, will you follow me on Twitter? Which obviously it's bothering him that you already don't follow him.
Right.
But, oh, man, I wasn't even thinking about it, dude. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Of course.
Right there.
I'll hype you up.
You know?
I mean, it's literally smallest
what
gesture.
What a baby.
It is the smallest gesture. That means a lot, obviously, to some people.
I mean, Joe Rexroad and Willie don't follow me on Twitter, so.
Maybe you should throw a fit.
That's so beneath. I can't do that. That's beneath
me. You thought about it, though.
Throwing a fit?
Yeah.
No. I just look at it like this. Mad Dog follows me, and he's in the Radio Hall of Fame. So I must be doing something right. But way to go, Taylor. And I'll say this. Breaking habits is very hard.
It is hard.
If Taylor does not succeed with his social media cleanse, I'm not going to be mad at him. Not going to be disappointed.
I just don't want to hear him whine about the whining on social media.
Oh, if
him.
He starts crying about it, then I'm going to have a problem with it. But I'd have had a problem with it if he wasn't trying to quit anyways. That's it for us. We're out of here. ESPN Radio Fitz, that's coming up next. We'll see you all tomorrow. Practice starts. We'll have a full report at 2:00.